When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm invisible.
What happened to you?
I don't know. It was perfectly fine. It was one of those sound check things.
Tim will be back. I'm Joel. It's Tim and Joel Call it in the Ring. Tim normally is at the point where he's doing his own thing. Are you good?
It's chamber in time is what I was going to do. I don't know.
The show sucks already. It's great.
What a show always sucks.
We do our best not to suck too much.
Welcome to the F show.
Yeah, this is the F show. It's just completely done. It's all downhill from here. So this is a little bit different than most of the shows we do, because normally when we talk about wrestling, we have watched everything, or at least have watched enough that we just talk about the creative and we talk about all the stuff that we're interested in from the week in wrestling. We're back from Montreal. We went for SmackDown, Elimination Chamber, and all the press media stuff that came with it. And we'll talk about it. And hopefully you guys and our friends who are here are going to enjoy it. And if you don't, well, you know, leave a thumbs up anyway. Or a thumbs down. I don't care. Engagement's engagement. You can go ahead and you can leave a comment as well. If you're here in the chat, hey, how are you? Hey, hi, how are you? I am on like 30 minutes of sleep. So this is great. And you can subscribe to us here at Fightful Overbooked. Tim is also on No Sleep, so send us a super chat so that Tim can be funded to go back to sleep and get a good night's rest, as will our children.
Be right back.
He's already in
PRD. My baby.
That's amazing. We're already here.
I will be a second.
All right, that's fine. We'll just mute you here. And then join the Overbooked here at Fightful Overbooked Discord. Okay, all right. G-Bro starts us off with a super chat. Adrenal Tim and my Joel, where did your bangs go? Tim's bangs decided to go for a walk this week. So I guess I'll start on my end, because Tim is MIA. He's taking care of his kid. My kid's down. He's sleeping. I'm watching him. Thursday morning, I was up well before the dawn. Some of you saw my weird videos at 5 in the morning. Hopped a 7 a.m. flight, went to Montreal. Got in super early, walked the streets, eventually checked into my hotel room, and killed a lot of time until Tim came. Tim was actually traveling by train, and I was traveling by plane. So I had a lot more time on my hands and a lot less time on a flight, which was nice. We were there primarily because of Elimination Chamber. We were also there because we had plans to meet up with some local independent wrestlers and talk about the upcoming GCW shows, because Game Changer Wrestling's coming to Montreal and they're also doing shows in Toronto. And we're hoping to get some extra insight and put some extra publicity on those shows. So we did get a chance to talk to a few wrestlers. Unfortunately, we did it all kind of off camera. We're going to catch up with those guys and girls later. And we're probably going to do more stuff in March, because that's when those shows are with IWS and with GCW. So keep an eye out for those. We're going to have a lot of stuff there. Fightful didn't, they're fine. Tim booked the train. He wanted to sit on the train and get work done. He liked that. He wanted to have like his downtime. When I travel, I like to be there as fast as I could. That's all. Yeah, people in chat are asking what the press conferences are like, and we're going to get to that. We'll talk about the whole experience. Tim and I met up. It was Thursday night, and we ended up going to the casino that night, because what else do you do when your first night's in Montreal and the casino's nearby? And we just had a nice night. We met up with some friends and just said hi, and then went to the casino. It was a good time. Friday came, and it was the media availability, the press junket. So we got up at a good hour. We were lucky that the press junket started at 10, so we could get up at 9 a.m. And then kind of waltz our way over to the Talent Hotel. And while we did that, we met up with the Love Wrestling crew as Tim comes back into frame. And we were able to hang out with Spencer Love and with Zach, who does socials and also hosts a plethora of shows over on the Love Wrestling channels. Support them. They're great. As Josh Robinson pops in on Twitch. And we're streaming live on twitch.tv/Fightful Gaming as always. So yeah, Love Wrestling. Love those folks. They were hanging out with us. We were hanging out with them all weekend. And Lawrence as well. I got to shout out Lawrence. He was there. He was hanging out with us. So yeah, so we got to the junket. Tim set up beautifully, made everything look good. Are you still alive over there, Tim?
I'm so tired.
Yeah, me too. We're talking about the scrum. So
scrum. It was scrumptious. They had some. They had some good cookies.
They did.
I know that's the content y'all want to hear about, right?
We're giving them all access pass.
Yeah, all access. Great cookies. Great cookies. Double chocolate banger. Yeah. White chocolate macadamia nut. You better believe it. And they were very good.
So Tim set up in there, and then they brought all the wrestlers in except for Sammy. They said Sammy's going to come a little later because he had some other commitments. And everyone was like, you'll have time with Sammy. Luckily, we did because we almost didn't. But we'll get to that. So who do we have? We had Bronson Reed. We had Natalya. We had Austin Theory. We had Nikki Cross. We had who am I missing? Raquel Rodriguez. And then Sammy was the sixth. So there were six of them. And every interview was really good. We had a really good conversation with everyone. Nikki Cross is... so sweet, and there's a reason why she's always at these things. Natty is also same, very sweet, very well spoken. Definitely had a lot to say about her legacy, about her family's legacy, and the questions were good. And for some reason, both Nikki and Natty love Tim Hortons, and we had to tell them that they're wrong.
Yeah, both sick. I mean, Natty's from Calgary, so Alberta people don't know coffee.
You heard it here first.
Take that, Alberta. Firing shots. Nikki, I don't know. She's just part of, that's the global community and corporate advertising. Anyway, Tim Hortons is owned by some weird Brazilian conglomerate now, I think. It's not very good. Their coffee is watery. It's literally the only coffee I don't drink black from like a coffee place.
Really?
Because, yeah, I add half milk, half sugar to it because it tastes like tar.
This weekend, I learned that Tim almost exclusively drinks coffee black. I don't drink coffee, so watching that was one hell of a treat.
I almost exclusively consume black coffee as well, in case you didn't notice.
Hey, this sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, we got through the presser. It takes 2 hours. A lot of those interviews will drop on Fightful in the coming weeks once we edit them and send them up to Sean to have them taken care of. But yeah, I think they were really good. We had some good banter with some of these people. My conversation with Bronson Reed is actually one for the books. I wanted us to do the interview at Schwartz's Deli by the time we got through the first half of it, because we
should have
basically spoke exclusively about food for the first half, and it was really good. But next time. Anyway.
Oh, and there's going to be a next time because I don't know. It was good. It was good that promo, that interview with him was really well done because he came in looking like a bajillion dollars.
The man looked so damn good.
He looked very cool.
I'll put over Love Wrestling. They've already dropped their interview. So you can see who was wearing what. And I know I do the Strong Style show with Cher, but come on. He was so good. Prada sunglasses. He was in a great, well-fitting gray suit with the black shirt. It was open because sexy beast.
He looked very cool, and then he put on a damn good performance in the Elimination Chamber. We'll go into detail about that in a bit. But yeah, I don't know. I think you're going to keep seeing Bronson Reed now. This weekend was good for him.
It really was. It was a good time. So yeah, there was just really good banter, really good chat. And then we got the interview with Sammy, which went up almost immediately. So here's how that came together real quick. Sean and I had spoken on Thursday morning, and he knew that Sammy was going to do the press junket like I did. And he said, hey, when you do the Sammy interview, if you can get it to us immediately, we'll toss it up on the website immediately. So we finished up, we wrapped up, left the talent hotel, went back to our hotel with the Love Wrestling guys, and very hastily and very quickly edited things together. Thank God I will put over Tim once again, as I always do when it comes to shooting and making things look good with the minimal amount of editing possible.
And sound good.
And sound good. Sounds great, actually. With all those things in mind, it makes doing any post-production so much better and so much easier. And you know what really matters to us, at least, when we get questions in the comments on the YouTube channel, on Fightful's YouTube channel, being like, whoa, this interview was beautifully shot. What equipment are you using? That shit gets me excited. It's good stuff. So without Tim, I don't do or look nearly as good. I have to say that. And I know he's heard me say that to his face, but I'll say it out here in the internet. He makes me look and sound better than I ever could. And that was the case for this week.
Oh, thank you.
I wouldn't have done it with anyone else.
So tired. It was nice. It was really fun.
So after the scrum, actually, I go over. So we definitely had tickets for Elimination Chamber.
That was a certainty.
Yeah, so I don't mind pulling back this curtain. John and Way from Post Wrestling were there, and they're really good dudes. They actually came in late because their flight was delayed, and for a minute I was upset because they kept getting into where we were shooting, but they were also like really frantically trying to get content because they had shown up so late. Mm-hmm. So at first I was like, Are you serious right now? Like, are you big time? Yes. And it just turned out, I spoke with them afterwards. Like, first of all, nicest dudes. Like, they were really, really sweet. But yeah.
I mean, to be fair, shout out to like WWE's PR team too, because one of them like saved one of the shots like mid interview because there was a back encroaching on the frame, and he was able to like nudge the guy just in time. And I tapped him, gave him a thumbs up.
Yeah,
it wasn't Joel. It was the other fella. I can't remember his name.
The big dude from the Netherlands.
Yeah. No. Sorry. The PR person.
Oh, the PR. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I'm speaking to John and Wayne. I said, "What's going on with SmackDown tickets?" And they're just like, "Get a comp. Ask them." So I go over to WWE PR and I'm just like, "Hey, what's going on with SmackDown tonight?" I'm like, "You want to go to SmackDown tonight?" And we're like, "Sure, why not?" They're like, "Why didn't you tell us in the first place?" I didn't know this was on the table.
It's all new.
Yeah, so first time for everything. So they were like, "Yeah, we got you." So very, very kind. They gave us tickets. Again, I do this with full transparency because I know a lot of people kind of get weird when it comes to, oh, wrestling media, they're bought and purchased. Like, honestly, we know what this is. And we come into it being, we're not going to do anything salacious. And I'm also not going to tell you that this was like a perfect experience, because we're going to talk about that a little bit later when we talk about Elimination Chamber itself. But we'll get down and dirty soon. But yeah, so they got us taken care of for SmackDown. SmackDown itself, the show was so much fun. I really liked SmackDown live. How did you feel about the show itself? Because I mean, our seats were great, and then
seats were fantastic. Yeah,
the matches themselves, the way that the show flowed was pretty good for us live. How'd you feel?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Flowed pretty well. In ring was good. This one was always going to be weird because like the main event was just Sami Zayn comes home. The way they played out the rest of the story was a little bit different than kind of what I think both of us expected. So the night was a bit strange, and they ended up doing two dark matches to kind of cover for that, which they felt like dark matches.
The dark matches apparently are the norm going forward. Yeah. Better. Or like for the last couple of weeks, like it's become the norm. So they do Charlotte versus Sonya. They did it like immediately, like Sammy cut his promo, left, and then they just hit Charlotte's music and she was out, and they start the match immediately. And then they did Bray Wyatt versus LA Knight. Yeah. In a street fight. And anyway, it happened.
It was fine. It's just a quicker, it was like the highlight reel from the Pitch Black, but without all the black light crap.
They had done the black light crap though.
No, I'm good. It was fine either way. They used a chair, a kendo stick, and a table. There you go. We did that. Right. We did the street fight. I don't know. I'd have to think about like what SmackDown's been lately, maybe lately or going forward. Like the goal is just maybe cap that show with like a segment rather than a match, which makes sense.
It was a go home, so they had to do something, something different. And no Roman on screen, no Usos on screen, which actually made things kind of funny. I was thinking about it the other day, and really today, because I'm on no sleep. The end of SmackDown last week was Paul telling Jimmy Uso, "Hey, watch the show from home. Roman's got it from here."
Yeah,
and then there was no Roman on the show on Friday. So I was like, did something kind of get lost in translation? Or like, it just, there was that little thread that I was like, that kind of didn't make it. But otherwise, the matches itself, I mean, that tag match between the Viking Raiders and Sheamus.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Oh, God. So much fun live. Madcap and Gunter. That was my main event.
Also very good. Yeah.
It was good. I'm waiting for people to finally understand that. Yes, the name Madcap Moss is not ideal, but I think we're getting closer and closer to him changing his name again.
The character is already dead, at least. Be thankful for that. Like, the gimmick itself doesn't, it's no longer there. He's not a jokester. He's not wearing his little suspendies, his little shorts, which is a shame, but it is what it is.
What if he did? What if Emma was the new Joker?
No.
Yeah, she could do the dance.
No, stop all of that.
The bubbles. Anyway. So the match itself was really fun. Again, everyone knew that it was going to be Gunter retaining, but I think the whole idea here was to make Madcap a little bit more of a veritable threat in his division. And that's
like a legitimate person.
Absolutely not. I will
never. Oh no, we're only halfway there. This is a multi-year plan.
Yeah, there is multiple builds.
That's step one.
Yeah, like,
that's only step one, and we're not even there yet.
After Solo won the North American Championship. We had that one, and then this is the real daddy of.
That's the angle. That's probably 2 years, 3 years from now.
Yeah, we're going for it. That's the one. I just realized that I really screwed up with the.
Placement of the Blue Universal.
Yeah, the Blue Universal title is just right on its collar there.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's why I'm not a person who does these for a living.
It's also explicitly stated on the WWE corporate website. You're not supposed to be doing that anyway.
No, is it really?
Yes.
Yeah. Seems bad.
It seems bad.
Oh, well, no one stopped me yet.
No, yeah. Yeah, I love how everyone goes and grabs those PNGs. I was doing it for a while, but it explicitly says do not do that.
Oh, well, if I get a cease and desist,
hey, all press is good press, ain't it?
That's right, especially charges being pressed, right?
Yeah, it's tough to.
So that was that was SmackDown up until Sammy comes out, and he comes out and it's huge, and they play his old theme, Worlds Apart, for the first time in so many years. Huge ovation. We'd find out later, Pat LaPrat from local media in Montreal, he's also broken like KO contract signings, and Sammy's re-signing his contract with WWE. He's been a staple of Montreal sports for a long time. And he said that in the history of the Bell Center, that was the longest ovation for one event.
Yeah. It was like 5 minutes something.
5 minutes and 13 seconds, I think. I went back and read the tweet. That's wild. It was more than like any sporting event that had ever happened at the Bell Center. Remember, there's the Forum, which is the old Montreal Canadiens arena. There were longer ones there. But in the Bell Center, which has been open for, oh God, it's been over 20 years easily. This was the longest sustained pop.
And 5 minutes is crazy. I can't even imagine that for like an actual sport. Like, it's just, it would be weird past a certain point, you know?
And so this is where things kind of got interesting. So we finished SmackDown. A bunch of us went to a bar, and there were some new friends there, some old friends there. And it was a good night. And then I was having a conversation with someone who was involved with everything going on over the weekend. And they kind of explained to me that maybe the Sammy stuff tonight or on SmackDown didn't go as planned,
which seemed to link up with some in-room observations, just a little bit the stuff that I had picked up on. Like you mentioned that, and I was like, there was this guy, like it was a stage producer, just like taking a knee, like just to the left of the commentary and like trying to cue Sammy. And I thought it was just like, you know, yeah, people are chanting a long time and he's just like, yeah, we got to get started. And then Sammy did his thing and it wasn't very long. But the entire time that this pop was going on, I'm like, it's getting pretty close to cutoff time. What's happening?
Yeah, and they were just letting it go. And that was that turned out to be a Sammy call. There was a whole bunch of stuff that was told to me, and I'm not going to go into it. You can do the FIFA Select stuff and read about it there. It's actually, you know what? It's already out there. So essentially, I'd been told that like Gorilla was kind of losing its shit and that you know, that people were very confused about what was going on out there. Kind of just like, why isn't he starting? What's going on? And then, of course, the FU Roman chants, people were getting backstage. They were like scrambling because they had to deal with that.
Because it was mute.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, we can't hear anything.
Yeah.
So, but we can. But anyway, the promo itself was, as I said in the press conference, we'll get to that later. It was very non-WWE-like. It was very emotional. It was very no beats, all big words of planning, and he just spit it all out.
Yeah.
And that's how we went home. That was SmackDown.
Bounced that mic something fierce. It almost got right back up to his own height. So what's he like, 6'2", 6'3"? Like, it bounced very high.
Yeah, he's solid, man. But he slams it down. The and then the cover, you know, the triangle cover.
Yeah.
Yeah, it bounced with it. It like goes off. And anyway, it was such an amazing moment. I said on the post show on Fightful that I don't get emotional about wrestling anymore. This was the first time in a long time where I stood sat at my seat and like I felt something, and I was just like, this is a moment, because
it was hard not to, like, that you could, yeah. The crowd was like actually electric, like this was. Yeah. Montreal's something else for that.
And then, and you know, some people were saying, oh, why'd you bring him out? That, you know, why'd you bring him out on Friday? Why didn't you do this all on Saturday? Well, honestly, we all knew what the plan was for Saturday. We all knew that Sammy was not going to win. We all knew that it was going to be a letdown, but that the match would be, you know, it would turn out that Sammy was still kept strong in defeat. But at the end of the day, this was for Sammy. The SmackDown promo was so that everyone in Montreal had a chance to like let it out.
And you know what it also helped with was like, it kind of got everyone on the same page for what the main chants were going to be. They're going to do the Ole, which I think everyone knew. But then like, you know, they got the feel, they felt it out on SmackDown, like what it was going to be. And that like, fuck you Roman chant really just kind of happened organically and then became. And it was the same thing after the show. They were doing the sign of the night. And that's when they highlighted the, like, if Roman wins, we riot. And then the next night, there's literally like 20 of those in the crowd. Like,
and shout out to Public Enemies Pod on Twitter, because, and then just the podcast themselves, because they had said, you know, with they had a Photoshop and they're just like, someone needs to bring one of these, or what are we doing? And so I quote tweeted it the next day, being like, with a photo from SmackDown with that sign. And I said, so about last night. And then, yeah. Huge amounts of that sign showing up at the Elimination Chamber show. So yeah, so basically I was tipped off that the Sammy promo was not as intended, but everyone was fine with it in the end, because clearly it was a moment. And so I spoke to Sean. I was just like, hey, here's what I was told. If you want to look into it, look into it. And then the Select report came out and everything. Saturday. Oh yeah, no, we were out late on Friday. We definitely enjoyed ourselves. Saturday, we took it easy. We had some lunch, edited some footage, and went and met up with people before the show. And then we went to the show, and we sat in media, and we went in through a really weird media entrance. Now, let me tell you about this. The Bell Center is not, as we were explained, is not set up to the ways the WWE would normally basically keep kayfabe.
Not their preferred configuration.
Yeah, that's how it was put to us. As they march us through the backstage area, completely like open everything everywhere. So we're literally just backstage. And they're like, no, obviously like no cameras and don't do this and don't do that. We're like, fine, whatever. Just walk through. And they take us to the press conference room. Say, drop your stuff and then we'll take you to your seats. And that's what they do. And we won't go over like who we saw or anything like that. We'll respect that. Yeah, but it was a very weird and surreal moment, just like being marched through backstage, being escorted through backstage. And then the funnier moment was one of the guys who works in communications was just like, how much do you think I could charge regular fans for a walkthrough like this? And I said, you can make it part of the superstar experience and you'll make bank.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was something very unexpected and surreal is the way that, like, it was just like, oh.
And they did it twice because we had to go back.
Yeah. There's in and out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Three times we had to leave.
Oh, yeah. We had to leave afterwards. Yeah. So kept seeing weird stuff. So the Elimination Chamber show was a lot of fun. I was thirsty, and Tim was like, can I get you a drink? And I said, get me Diet Coke. And so Tim comes back with a cup of Diet Coke, a plastic solo cup, a clear solo cup. And I'm like, oh, that's weird, because at SmackDown, they were giving them out in a bottle. And he said, yep. They just emptied the bottle into the cup, and that was it. So I took a photo, and I was like, I think this means they're trying to cover their asses just in case something happens tonight. That's we kind of got some numbers, Tim.
Oh, yeah? What was the final tally? Big?
I haven't actually pulled it up. Let's take a look. I'm going to find this tweet now, and I know some of you saw it and engaged with it. Oh, here we go. Oh, my God. This is absurd. Okay, so first of all, the caption was, LOL, they aren't serving soda in bottles tonight for a very specific reason, dot, dot, dot. The engagement on it is 3,104 likes.
Oh.
184 quote tweets, 259 retweets, and the views are at 384,000.
Delightful. I'm glad I didn't embarrass you by asking that.
I had people in my DMs, and I showed them to Tim, telling me that, oh, this is normal. WWE and other sporting events.
Like, we were there literally the night before, y'all. Like,
and I was like, I literally had a bottle of Diet Coke last night.
Yeah.
Just stop. There was a lot of copium.
I talked to the guy. I talked to the kid who was tasked with serving them. And I was like, is this necessary? And he's like, it's for security. And I was like, okay.
Is it now?
Good to know. I see. And I people have shown memes that the Canadians have learned, and they've shown like wrestling stuff. And it's like, I think they're just used to people throwing stuff on the ice from Habs games. They know when the bad nights are going to be, when the potential for miscreancy is high. So they've adjusted.
And a cheap solo cup that's clear doesn't travel nearly as well as a bottle of soda filled with something.
No, most of the liquid is going to escape through the air, showering your fellow Montreal people.
Montrealers, I think.
Montrealers? That's not correct. There's no
Montrealers. I think it is. Anyway, that's how the night started. And then I muted the tweet, and I'm like, never to be seen again. And then I got a message from a friend today who was like, I saw your tweet on several Facebook groups. I'm like, no,
not the Facebook groups.
It's my worst fear come to life. Anyway, I had a good laugh. So we watched the show. We watched the Elimination Chamber, started off with the women. Really fun match. I enjoyed it. How do you think it went? Asuka is going to WrestleMania.
Good match. Really good match. So I haven't done this for any other event I've attended, but I rewatched it, the show. I wanted to hear how the crowd translated. I wanted to hear some of the commentary. I wanted to see how some stuff played out, because there was moments that looked kind of like awkward to me that actually with the production played out very, very well. There was a moment where Asuka jumps up. She's fighting with Liv. And she looked kind of wonky, but like it looked really, really smooth, like on the program. Crowd came out as insane on the TV as it was there. The match itself was really good. I was hearing people call it like an all-time women's Elimination Chamber match. I don't really know from a whole lot of experience. I haven't watched a ton of them. It was certainly better than last year's. I enjoyed the match. There were some big spots. It's still the muted version of the chamber. Like I know that there's lots of good reasons for that. And I know that most people are very like, yep, this is the right decision. But it's also like, I don't know. It also doesn't feel as special as it did when it was actually hurting people, which is, you know, it's a trade-off.
I think I'd rather they survive the night.
Yeah. It's just I would prefer like a lot more creativity with the chamber itself being used, because like I felt like it got a little bit stale. I noticed they grated up the top instead of the chains, which is good. So there's no more like grabbing the feet spots, because that got old.
Asuka wins. She's going to face Bianca Belair at WrestleMania. One of my favorite spots was early in the match. They did the shoving Natty's head through the
chain. Yeah, that was excellent. And that's what I'm talking about. Like, I want stuff like that, but like more than like three or four per match, because that feels like you're just getting the quota in. So
yeah, and they did some fun stuff. I think the women really, really performed well, and it was the right opener for that night.
100%. Like this was, it set the tone right. Asuka winning was like obviously the correct decision for me. Like I'm very happy with that. I think that's a good match at WrestleMania.
At that point, I saw Peter Rosenberg in the crowd.
Yeah,
a photo with a young woman who had a sign that said, "My mom thinks I'm at bar mitzvah class." And I thought that was just the funniest, stupidest thing I've ever seen. And I had to shout it out. So,
you know what's funny? On the my train ride home, there was a girl directly across from me who was
studying for her bar mitzvah.
100%. It was not that girl. It was a different girl. Nope. But it was very funny.
It's good. Although, it's that girl, we're telling stories here. It was the same girl.
Man, I will say there were too many wrestling fans on that train.
Yeah, there were a bunch on my flight. Actually, shout out. So there was a dude I met. His name was Ryan. He's from close to my hometown. We randomly had the same flights in and out. So either he's stalking me or we got lucky. Yeah. But yeah, no, shout out to him. We had really nice conversations about wrestling that were very even keeled and very nice and very fun. So shout out to him. It was good stuff. There were a lot of wrestling fans. Let me tell you, on my flights as well. It's just the way it is.
There were a couple of people, like I was in the McDonald's gathering my bucket of coffee for the morning. And there was just people carrying around chairs. I'm just like, this sucks. This is the crappiest, like, what an awful souvenir that the WWE has made their like staple VIP, like front row thing, like carry around a whole ass chair. Like
you can, and then those. Just ship them home. Go to your local FedEx, wrap that shit up, and just ship it home.
Oh, I feel like these people spent all of the money they had on those seats because they didn't actually have the money to afford those seats. Because, like, judging by the lady who I heard, a separate lady talking on her phone in the McDonald's, she said she watched it on her phone while she was there. Because you remember when they pulled us down to the floor?
We'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah. Anyway, like, she was not within the first three rows of the floor seats and was disappointed with her sight lines, which, welcome to reality.
Could have told you that one. Anyway.
Yeah.
Our seats were great, though. They
were phenomenal. The 100 section is the way to go.
Yeah. always sit in the lower bowl.
Yeah.
If you can get production hold seats, I always swear by them. These were great. We weren't staring at ass all night.
I literally never want to watch wrestling any other way. Like, well, this is perfect. Like,
you know that Impact's putting people back on the stage for their pay-per-view when they're here in Toronto in April? I hope they don't put us there.
Yeah.
But because of the way that they troll Sean, I think they're going to do that.
Yeah, or right in the front row where they can focus on your dumb mug every 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. There's like so many GA areas that are not lit well that I'm sure we'll just...
Good. We can like slink into a corner.
Poles. Yeah, over by the stripper poles. Anyway.
Wait, are they running Rebel? They are?
They always run Rebel. When they come here, they run Rebel because it's like the biggest non-arena venue they can run.
Cool. We can have my studio after and before.
Oh, that's a good idea.
It's right there. It's a good, we can actually do the pod. Like,
how close is it? Because you guys also have internet now there.
Yeah, it's very close. It is.
Oh God, right, I gotta tell Sean. That's what we're gonna do. I was gonna ask someone at Rebel if like I could comedy or an office afterwards.
No, this we is can much better. It's not far at all. It's Cherry, right? So it's next to Polson.
Okay, we'll do that. Thank you for indulging my plans for April. My dad can get us better seats. That's right. And it is Rebellion at the Rebel Night. That's always my favorite thing. Like, they've been running Rebellion in Toronto for several years, that not for the pandemic in past, but
used to be Sound Academy then.
What was it before? No, it was always Rebel when they ran it.
Oh, okay.
What was it before Sound Academy?
I can't remember. It was something cooler.
Oh, it was just the docks. The docks.
Yeah, better.
No, the docks and then Sound Academy. I saw
But there was that weird fish restaurant there too, which made it awkward and weird. Fun. Anyway.
Yeah. Back to the show. Good seats. Bobby and Brock were up next. And middle of the show, I turned around and I said, kick him in the dick.
Yeah.
And what does Brock do? Kick him in the dick.
I mean, if we say that literally every match, the odds that it's going to happen sometime is pretty high.
There was one spot where it happened in the elimination chamber. We looked at each other. We're just like, kick him in the dick.
Effective. Zero rules against it there.
Yeah. So, yeah. That, so who got the win there? It was nobody won. The fans won.
Yeah, Bobby. Bobby won. He got the win. DQ.
I'm not against this story playing out because there's 6 weeks of TV left. You can spend half of it trying to figure out what's going on with Bray. I thought that was awful, by the way, on SmackDown.
We were both very displeased.
I was like, no more lore. And I think it's going to be, I think they're going to move towards Bobby and Bray and not Brock and Bray. I don't think Brock wants to do lore.
Yeah, I don't know. Also, you don't want that as fans. It won't be good. That would be a horrible match. I can see them doing something weird, like Bray coming out and being extremely philosophical about, like, who really won in the end? Like, who was the one left standing tall? Like,
what's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Anyway, hopefully it's Bobby.
The dick, tell you that much.
Hopefully it's Bobby and Bray, but I don't even. That also sounds weird.
The only way I will accept Brock Lesnar versus Bray Wyatt is if it brings Sable back and Alexa Bliss, and then it becomes this weird. Like Sable is equally confused, and we have Alexa Bliss lore.
Just have Sable run in with like a hunting rifle, and just like there we go. Like yeah, it's the converse of like Bray's influence on Alexa. Well, what's Brock's influence on Sable? That's She's right. out there with a big ass knife ready to skin him. Like drives a motorcycle down, just like
the Sable American badass.
Yeah, pretty
oh
much.
My God, I'm so into this. That's how we do it.
He's got Iron's Glock.
Good callback. What happened next? Oh my God. It was the tag match, mixed tag. This was a really
The battle of Miles. What Miles what's his name? The singer for Alter Bridge.
Miles Kennedy? No.
Might be.
Mark Tremonti.
Mark Tremonti's the guitar player.
Yeah, aren't they the same?
No. Hold on.
Okay, anyway, Edge and Beth versus
it's Miles Kennedy. Yeah, Miles eat it.
So he works with Slash too. Yeah. Anyway, Edge and Beth versus Finn Balor and Rhea Ripley. I sat there being like, I think Rhea Ripley's going to pin Beth, but it ended up being Edge pinning Bray, because I guess you can't have Edge lose too many times, because every time Edge loses, you then have to write him out for several months. That's how it works.
He's got to go recollect himself, put it back together. Anyway, the guy's got 8 abs. That's a good enough consolation prize. He can eat another L.
He's good. He's having the best time of his life.
Again, he's midlife crisis Finn. This guy can lose. It's okay.
The star of the show, though, was Dominic Mysterio, and that crowd absolutely lost their shit.
They took the long way to yell at him too. They weren't, it wasn't F you Dom. It was F you Dominic.
They really went at it too. It was so good. And like, they ran him out of the arena, and then they did the na 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 na, and then he comes back. He's like, yeah, I'm back on the back. Dominic Mysterio is so understated as a heel right now. I think there's so many good things going on there.
I love what the Judgment Day became. Yeah. Like, for such a terrible idea, a Vince-born atrocity that maybe also Edge had some creative control in, given his press conference discussion. But boy, big turd. Big turd that started out as has turned into like this gang of utter weirdos. Like,
and that's what's so, you mentioned Edge in the press conference. He put over Judgment Day.
Yeah, he said he's proud of them. He's proud of what it's become.
He's like, eerily enough or weirdly enough, I'm proud of them. And I think he's right to say that, because this was a group that made no sense and never made sense, that was made sense of after they kicked him out and you know, Triple H took over with creative. This match was fun. The Shatter Machine finish was a lot of fun too. I'm glad they did it. I know Dax is going to talk about it on his podcast this week, which is fun. I'm saying fun a lot because I'm tired. And there was a moment. There was the one.
The brutal. I went back and watched this because I wanted to see what it looked like. It looked just as bad.
It happens.
It did. And I thought to myself, I was like, what would happen? Old school WWE. They just count them down, eh? Like, well, screwed so up. Again, and then
they would, and the referees are supposed to count 3 no matter what. But also, Edge kicked out because Beth.
Yeah.
He kind of flopped up. So like
the ref legitimately hand comes down and just swoops into his armpit, misses the mat. Like, and again, shout out to how professional the referees were, because watching them work like was really, really excellent. Is particularly for this show, SmackDown the night before, like during the Charlotte match, something flew out of someone, and like the ref, like as he was coming down to count, with his other hand, picked up what it was, felt what it was, and made sure it wasn't anything of consequence before continuing. Like, it was very smooth.
By the way, yes, we will be at Greektown Wrestling in March. Yeah. We saw Steve there too, who is the ring announcer.
He was snapping stales.
Yeah, he was having a great time. So shout out to Steve Argentaru. I hope I pronounced his last name.
It doesn't seem like you did, but that's fine.
Are you saying, no, come on, no.
If you have to slow down while pronouncing a name, you're not pronouncing
it. No, it's Aru. I just looked it up. It's
there you go. Now you pronounce it right.
Shut up. Anyway, we'll be at Greektown. Eva Luno's going to be there. We'll do a whole rundown. We always
Eva Luno's got the match set. He's wrestling someone.
Yes, Trent Gibson.
Yeah, he's going to get paddled.
And did you see who Jock Sampson is facing?
Both of the main event. Yeah,
I'm so excited.
Yeah, that's
we have to interview main event.
Yeah,
I need people to see these two dudes. They are big, built, good-looking dudes who need to be working on TV.
Great in the ring. Their gimmick is very refined now. Like, they're a good to go package, pretty much. I mean, I who knows about like talking, but like the presentation is there.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, but Greektown, we'll be talking about that. There's so much wrestling for us coming up in the next few weeks. It's kind of wild. That's all I'll say about that. What else? We got past Bobby and Brock. We got past the Judgment Day. And then we had the Men's Elimination Chamber. We had the Austin Theory one. So my favorite stat coming out of the night was that 4 out of 5 matches on the card at the Elimination Chamber featured Canadian wrestlers. The one that didn't was the U.S. Championship match.
Appropriate.
Very appropriate. Yeah. Austin Theory retains the championship. This was a match that really made Montez Ford, Bronson Reed, and Johnny Gargano look like $1 million, because the other two guys in the chamber and Damian Priest looked like he was already.
Yeah,
the three guys on the up versus three guys who are established and on TV weekly, and everyone came out looking great. When I started thinking about it and putting it together, I was like, I think Logan Paul's here.
Yeah.
When they got down to the final two, and then they did the Montez Ford injury, and people were like, is this real?
Me and you were both just like, they're keeping that door open.
The door's open. And on top of that, I said, I looked down at, we could see a production monitor and we could see what they were shooting. And they were like, all eyes on Montez.
Yeah.
All eyes on the injury. And I was like, you don't do that in sports.
No.
Anyway, Logan Paul comes down, Hangman Logan Paul. He hits a buckshot lariat as he does. And Seth Rollins loses the chamber match. Austin Theory retains. I'm excited. It's good. I like the match. It was so much fun. There were so many high spots and so many stupid little stories being told. And I say stupid in like the best way. My favorite was Austin Theory trying to team up with literally everyone and always getting smacked in the face for it. It was a really, really good match. What'd you think?
The 1-2-3 super kick on Bronson Reed was like actually really good. And they're like, this one I went back and rewatched and it translated even better on TV. Like it was more exciting than what I got from watching it there. Like it was very good. This was a very good Elimination Chamber match. And like you said, like the biggest goal I think in it was getting three guys who need to get over quick. A lot more shine. Not that Montez needs to, you know, but like this showed that he could definitely do the solo thing. Like, and this, all of this subtle stuff that I couldn't really see from a distance that I saw on TV that he was doing, way, way, way more impressive. Even still, like that guy's incredible. He just needs to get, you know, pushed.
But did you know that he should be back in New Japan because Okada? He beat Okada.
Montez Ford beat Okada.
Yep.
Okay, that's nice.
No, obviously I'm talking about Bronson Reed. Tez was fantastic, and I did because at the press conference everyone found out that Triple H wasn't thinking about everyone in the match that he put over. He did later. It was
weird to me. I was like, oh, okay.
I think he did what I did. I'll give full disclosure. When we interviewed Bronson Reed, I forgot he was in the chamber match. I did, because I made zero reference to it because I was trying to keep my questions evergreen, knowing that
it's good. Yeah.
Yeah. Knowing that we were going to drop these later on. So yeah, long story short, I think Triple H just forgot who was in the match.
It's a lot of names.
Yeah. Names. Six men to remember.
He did take quite a bit of time to praise Logan Paul though, which kind of makes it a little bit less it's a little grosser that he admitted Tez by accident.
There was some crypto zoo stuff he wanted to get in.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. It's what that is media training and him like the goal was to get out certain beats. And like Tez doesn't feature in that beat because he's a part of the company, right? They have to get over Logan Paul. So he's trying to remember all six names and do like the Logan stuff and remember his talking points. So it happens.
And he later on went to Twitter and was like, I forgot about Tez. He's a star. Like, put him over. And like, sometimes having that stand out, it's nice to have too.
Yeah.
So it really, really fun match. Tez doing that top of the cage roll through dive, whatever the hell it was, looked good. Everyone caught him. And the Poison Rana from the top of the pod. We looked at that. We're like, man, if Johnny had just taken one sharp turn to the left, that would have been game over. But
it was close. But yeah, Damian was there. He basically kept him from dying.
Yeah, the amount of trust all of these guys had in each other was immense. And you can tell. So there was something special going on. I think there was a lot of really, really good teamwork that went into that match.
Yeah, it was exceptional. Like, that's an all-timer.
Really enjoyed it. And then we had the main event. It was Roman and Sammy. By the way, going back to the Brock Lesnar match, they showed a promo for the match and it starts with Brock's music and the crowd loses their shit.
Oh yeah. It was terrible. Like, not a good idea and it was funny though. It was funny as hell.
So, so we get to the main event, Roman and Sammy. I mean, there's nothing I can tell you that you didn't see live in terms of the crowd reaction.
Yeah, the instant intense booze the second Roman's music hit. Getting even louder the second he steps out. Getting even louder the second he raises his, you know, belts in the ring. Like, it was wild that it still had room to go, because it felt like bone shattering the second his music hit. So
I loved when he was doing the one, Montreal was giving him a different one.
Different one. Yeah. I want to, going back to the Elimination Chamber, this wasn't on TV. Bronson Reed's exit as they're singing Na 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 is a very smooth other one.
Yes. He's just had that loaded up and ready to go.
It was so cool. Like, just so smooth, just flips the bird on his way out. Like,
man, it's a star. Good time. And then Sammy comes out, and it's a huge reaction, as expected, and everyone's excited. And then for almost 5 minutes, the bell rings, they don't touch, and we're sitting there. We're like, they can go another 5 minutes and not touch, and this crowd wouldn't do a damn thing. I saw something, Tim, that I told you I'd never seen before in all of my years going to wrestling shows. And people know that I try to sit as close to the hard camera as I can for multiple reasons. Yeah. One of the reasons is because I can watch – I think I don't know if I explained on the show, but if you're watching the layout of a WWE show, there is where the hard camera is, there is an entire like strip. I call it the M1 because I worked on cruise ships, and that was the M1 was like the main drag. It was like the highway. It was where everything moved around that was important. And that's kind of what production is for WWE. There's this main drag that people walk through if you work for the company. It's where
it's the side with the jib, like it's where Shotzi's horrible tank became very apparent why they maybe got that scrapped. Like it's where it's the production side hard cam where there's like all of the equipment. So
I'd never seen this before. There was a line of staff of employees who worked there, and including some on-air talent.
Yeah, Megan was out there.
Megan Morant was out there. Caleb Braxton was out there. Matt Camp from The Bump, I'm pretty sure, was out there. You had Ariel Helwani was out there. GSP was sitting with his kid.
Looking very intense. He was as fixated as if it was like, you know, a real fight. Like, he was very focused.
Rosenberg was back out there. And that's just talent. And then there was a lot of staff that I recognized and that we had been talking to through communications and all that. They were watching and just taking it in, just watching and like chatting to each other. There was a moment that I think everyone was like there to see, because this show was not supposed to be as big as it became.
No.
And I think there was a magic of doing the Sammy match at home, and the story that was told, the beat that this was in the story, made this a big moment. And we'll talk about that when we talk about the press conference and my question to Sammy and the answer he gave. But so that was a moment. And then the comms guys come over, and someone in the chat mentioned it earlier, but comes over and he says to us all in our row of media, he says, we're going to take you down to the floor to watch the rest of the match. And we're like, cool, sure, why not? Okay. And I'm thinking they're going to take us over to where all the other staff are watching.
Yeah. Well,
how friggin' wrong am I? And we're all feeling the same way. We all go over to an empty area on the floor that I was like, they're not going to let us stand here because we're obstructing view.
It's literally where the floor people have to pass through to go to the bathroom and buy concessions. Yeah. Like it's
and also like the area was where they struck the pre-show set. That's where we started. And then they were like, no, move over here. They moved us like way to the back corner and had a standby there, and we couldn't see shit.
Yeah, because it also is a like decline. Like we're lower than everything, and there's no raked seating on the floor, so it's just we literally can't see anything.
Yeah, so we're all standing there and just looking at each other, being like, "Why are we standing here?" We know why.
So they can get
to the post-show press conference as soon as possible. That's fine. I mean, it's like herding cats, I guess. But we were not very pleased about missing basically the whole rest of the match, and we all had to go back and watch it on the fabulous Peacock or WWE on Sportsnet. Anyway, but the match itself and what we saw was really, really fun. It was just a moment. And the crowd, what I did while I was standing there not being able to watch the match, I watched the crowd.
Yeah.
Same. Because at that moment, that's all I could do. And the crowd was just, we sat before the show Tim and I did, and the friends that love wrestling. We sat with a friend of mine who's an In-N-Out wrestling fan, and he was going to the show with his friends. And one of his friends hasn't watched wrestling until the Royal Rumble. He was like, the last time I watched was 2002. And he was like, I watched this year's Royal Rumble, and I loved it, and I went to the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view because it's local, and I was going to have a good time. And he was like, I want Sammy to win tonight. I think Sammy's going to win. He had conviction. He was like so into the story. And God bless him, because that is this. I told him to his face, like, that's the type of wrestling fan I want to meet.
I tell you, the Love Wrestling guys, I think we're sold on it.
Like, yeah, that's just because they're local. That's stupid. No, yeah. I'm just kidding. I know that there's a certain amount of like, haha, I know the answers
type. No, of yeah, yeah. But like,
but it doesn't always have to be that way.
I would say that the majority of the crowd was like, they bought into it to a sense, like, because the complete drop in feel, like in air in the place when that three count came in was incredible.
Absolutely insane.
Like, the KO pop was kind of crap. Like, they're just like, where were you?
Like, yeah, that was kind of unexpected. Not the KO came back, but the KO reaction. I think we expected a little bit more.
Absolutely. I expected explosive. And like, but it was that Sammy lost. They just loved him that much. And they had aired that Helwani package so many times and like really, really built him up. Like, they sold a lot of people on it.
Yeah.
And it was special. But like, yeah, we'll talk about what Sammy said in the presser, because he had some insight. But like,
yes, he did. So so the match ends, Roman wins, and the crowd's deflated. KO comes out, they do the thing. You all saw it. I don't need to tell you. We'll probably go back and watch it at one point. I know you said you did. I'll go.
I did. Well, here's the thing. Like, I think part of the deflation is not just because he lost. It's the way that they handled this was a little bit weird. Like, that was surprising to me. Like, kind of what happened was expected. Like, we knew Jimmy was going to interfere. We knew Jay would come out. I kind of expected Jay to just get this over and done with and clock Sammy with a chair here. He didn't. But then they did this thing, which they're either going to take it in a complicated, weird way, or they're going to do some really lame wrestling crap where it's like, oh, you speared me. And it's like, it was an accident. You know what accidents are. Yes, Jay?
Like, but my, So we'll talk about that with the Paul comments and the 6 weeks to Mania and all that stuff. So yeah, match ends and they grab us and they take us through again through the backstage as I walk past Johnny and Candace I was telling Tim, like, I was trying not to smile and to be like, hi, how are you? Because they come off as just the nicest human beings in the world. And all you want to do is like just chat with them. And I kind of said they're the type of people that, like, if I saw them at the grocery store, I'd be like, oh, bananas are on sale. You should probably go grab some. They're on super sale. I got a bunch. You want one?
Is the cost of bananas a thing? They're always cheap. Like,
they're not always
cheap. Bananas are cheap. You can get a bunch for under $2 consistently. You shop in the wrong places.
I get mine at like 58 cents a pound, I think.
Oh, too good for 59.
Is there a 59? No, I don't know. I think I got them in No Frills or Walmart. What do you want from my life?
Yeah.
Wherever it's cheap. I know they're still awful, but who cares? Anyway, so we're brought back to the place for the press conference. It's a smaller room because I don't think they were planning on doing a press conference until suddenly they made this a bigger show than it was planned to be. A bunch of us sat down there and they kind of got us situated.
We had maybe 10 minutes. Like, yeah. I was able to set up a tripod and I wanted a gimbal, but it wasn't happening. I had to just lock my elbows into my thigh meat and sit on a chair to stabilize.
So we have, Tim and I have two different perspectives from the press conference. Yeah. I sat with with everyone who was asking questions, and Tim was in the back. So we'll kind of give our two different perspectives from that. I was sitting with the guys from oh my God, I just forgot the name of the Gorilla Position Radio. They're really good dudes. Someone said, "Is that your dad?" And I was like, "No, no, no. He's a Brit, which is much worse." And then there was a guy from local media sitting next to me. And like, you know, there were some people, basically like we all kind of knew each other in some way. And so we were sitting there, Byron Saxton hosted, you all saw that. But before they started, they were kind of like, hey, is anyone specifically going to want to ask a question? And they told us who was going to be there. And I, you know, it's normally like, someone's definitely going to want to ask Paul Levesque a question. Someone's definitely going to want to ask Sami Zayn a question. But then they said Austin Theory and they said Beth and Edge. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, I have nothing to ask Theory that I haven't already asked him. And the question that I had for Edge ended up being asked immediately by Graham from Bleacher Report. And shout out to him because he got it off better than I probably could have. And that was asking about Edge's retirement plan and the promo he cut in Toronto when Tim and I went to Raw back in September, where Johnny Gargano made his return. And Edge had said, you know, next time I'm here, that might be my last match. And, you know, I'm starting to think about retirement. And then last night, Edge gave a completely different answer, being like, I feel good. I could go longer. I retired for 9 years. I'm still ready to go. So I was happy that someone asked the question, is what I'm saying. And then the Paul stuff, Paul spoke. I was going to ask Paul about the Ariel Helwani involvement. I know the Love Wrestling guys were also thinking about it. I was going to ask about why Ariel Helwani and not like GSP or someone completely unaffiliated and like why they settled on Ariel. It probably was for the best because Ariel was at the press conference and it would have felt a little awkward to ask. After the show, I actually told Helwani, I was just like, I was going to ask about you in the press conference. He's like, oh God, it's better you didn't.
That's funny.
I wanted to be a little agitating, but
The pre-show, like the stuff they were saying, they brought him on for the pre-show. And,
did they?
And it was like, they were like, welcome to the show, Ariel Helwani, the most reputable MMA journalist in like, it's
like, that's fantastic.
It was a lot. Sets and stuff.
When they did the GSP stand-up, I know Michael Cole was like, the most unbiased combat sports journalist in the world. I was laughing.
They took a few shots, yeah.
Go for it. Have fun with it. I wanted to hear Paul make those references. I wanted to hear Paul say those things. But he didn't. He was asked about a lot of things. He was asked about, you know, if a pop like that changes creative at all. He was asked by Brandon Thurston of WrestleNomics, which is, of course, now made the rounds. He was asked about the potential sale of WWE. And I think Paul gave probably the best answer he could. But like Tim and I were talking about this on the way home from the scrums. It's really hard to ask those kinds of questions in these rooms.
Yeah.
Because as we talk about it, it's a kayfabe vortex.
Yeah. Everything, which like if you're not picking up when they awkwardly are like, oh, this is the last question. Well, before I go, and they'd say story beats where they're just promoting Monday Night Raw, like,
yeah, so it's almost like some of us have to be in there to ask a question that is maybe journalistic in nature or just like informative in nature, but also we're not going to ask like, hey, how do you feel about your boss being implicated in sexual harassment suits? Guess what? They don't care.
Yeah.
You know, there's stuff like the reason I wanted to ask about Helwani is because, again, there are so many other people in French, you know, combat sports or just like well-known combat sports journalists or just well-known Montrealers they could have gotten.
Yeah.
But they picked Helwani and I wanted to know why. And maybe it's because of the association with BT Sport and WWE has a partnership with them. Maybe it was as easy as that, but I still wanted to get an idea because that was something that got a lot of conversation going over the weekend with the way TK decided to tweet about it. So you kind of have to pick your questions carefully. And some people decide to ask like, hey, are you going to face John Cena at WrestleMania, Austin Theory? And you're like, bro, ask the question.
Different.
Just some tag, like something different. Lead the question. Don't just.
Hey, can I predict your storyline?
Yeah. I'm just that, like all I'm at. Yeah. Don't predict my storyline. And try to get me like, try to lead me there. So that leads me to where I am with the Sammy thing. It kind of all comes full circle. First of all, I see that the dude from Gorilla Press asked the question and he's sitting next to me. And then they hand the microphone to the guy sitting to the other side of me who is from local sports. And he asked Sammy, you know, do you think we'll see a WrestleMania in Montreal? And I'm like, why? But whatever. He's local news. He's doing his thing. And Sammy gave a really good answer that he invoked Mexico again. So clearly he's trying to bring El Generico back for a WrestleMania match. That's fine. I get it. You work your shoot, brother. Anyway, And then I'm like, I have a question. I got to follow up on this select report that we dropped. I got to get the answer to it. I got to figure out what happened with that promo. And so I turned to the woman who was handing out the microphone for questions. And I was just like, hey, me. And then they said, this is the last question. I looked at Byron Saxton. I was like,
I was literally looking around in the back, like trying to be like, yo, can you get my boy? Like,
yeah. So I had the mic. I was like, I'm doing this. So they called on me and I got to ask about the promo. And I was like, something's off. Something happened. What happened? And you can go back and watch it, clip it, whatever, or read the transcription from Fightful.com, because Jeremy Lambert did the transcription and did a wonderful job. This is the only time I'm going to publicly put over Jeremy Lambert on a Fightful show, even though I have to do newsworthy with him tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., by the way. So he basically answered the question at the very end, after he gave a whole long, really interesting answer about how he sees moments now on TV and how things are in the digital media age. Everything's about moments and making and maximizing your minutes, essentially. And then he puts over the Bloodline story. And then he says, I also was going to talk about X, Y, and Z, including Cody and my conflict of faith from Raw, but I didn't have time. And I loved the answer, Tim. I was so happy that I was able to get, and this is speaking as me, not as anyone else. I was able to get a select report, more information and more clarity than where we started. I never had that. I've said this before. I've never cared about interviewing wrestlers. It's never been my thing. But lately it's kind of become a thing that I feel good doing. Mm-hmm. And after that, I felt really friggin' good about being able to do that and get the last stupid question on the press conference.
Last.
And it wasn't a stupid kayfabe vortex. Like, it was.
No, it was nice. That whole conversation with Sammy was really something else, because he was just like, I feel weird.
And then you ask him about a parking ticket and he's just like, there were people who did not get it in the audience.
He made like a wet dream kind of reference.
He had to pull himself back.
He's like, whoa. Almost said something inappropriate. Glad my filter kicked in. And I was like, you could have just not said anything, I guess. But like, he was just talking about how strange it felt. And like, he just did this thing, you know, y'all heard it. Like, it was interesting. Like, the crowd truly did become a character last night. Like, it was that type of feel.
Yeah. So that was my experience doing this. You were standing at the back of the room.
I was at the back of the room. I set up my little wide shot camera and I was looking at them, and they all seemed kind of like tired, but I checked the shot and see how far I can get in. And I have to like scoot around, and I'm just sitting in the back, like with the camera leaned out into the alley, staring at everyone in the face. So I'm just looking at like Triple H just trying to remember stuff. And I'm just there like, like Weird Al with a camera. Just like, so that was fun.
And you're able to get some really cool shots.
Yeah. So it's nice. It's, you know, the thing is, like, we're just allowed to use our own stuff if we film it for whatever. Whereas if we try to lift footage from the press conference on YouTube, copyright stuff. So there's that.
Well, we'll be fine. We'll take it all. We'll process it, put it on select and various channels. And then we thought about going out. Instead, Sean said, hey, pop into the post show. So I did that. And that was an experience that shouldn't have happened.
We didn't have like a space. The hotel was like a 20 minute walk away. So like, there was no quiet space, and God forbid you exist in a public space after 5 p.m. So there's just nowhere quiet. So we tuck into an alley.
Tuck into the alley, and I'm on the show and I'm doing my thing. And the security guard comes out and he starts being like, you can't be here. You can't be here. He talks to Tim. Thank God, because I'm in the middle of talking to Sean and Denise on the show. And if you watched the post show last night, I had to like move around and like try and find my words while I'm navigating this dickhead security guard who's trying to kick us off the property while I'm on a video call. Like, I'm not doing anything illegal. I am sitting there because there's light trying to do this stupid video call. Anyway, so he kicks us off. He literally makes us stand on the street corner, on the sidewalk.
On the sidewalk.
This is private property. this is public property. It's like, I don't give a shit. Just let me do the 2 minutes I need to do my spot and get out. That's all. It's a real, real stupid segment. Really stupid situation.
Yeah, it was very dumb, but whatever. God forbid we be near the unopened condo.
Yes, a condo that was not open yet to anybody. It was a presentation center.
Yeah,
we weren't trying to go inside. We were literally on the side of the building.
Yeah, he was trying to say he was protecting us because it's a sketchy alley, but it's not, because the cops were literally right there, and like it was feet from the main sidewalk. Like, yeah. Could have just called out. Anyway,
we got home, packed up, woke up, got like 3 hours of sleep. And then I got on a plane this morning and Tim got on a train, and here we are. Took care of our kids all afternoon and now we're here.
Yep. Mine just woke up again.
Well, you should go check on him.
Yeah, I guess so.
Let's get out of here, Tim. Do the plugs and we'll go.
It's Tim Stone, PTIMBSTONEP, Instagram exclusively.
Spends a lot of time on Instagram, let me tell you. Sharing a hotel room. It was a lot of Instagram.
So much Instagram.
We'll be back next week, probably talking about more wrestling, because Tim won't be here. Kate will be back because Tim is sick of wrestling.
You will hear from me again after WrestleMania.
I'm going to think when your next appearance might be.
Yeah, I don't know. When's Revolution? After WrestleMania?
No, it's March the 5th. It's in 2 weeks.
Oh, hold on. I got to get on the 3rd. All right, we're good. So that, it'll be then.
Oh, it won't even be that. It'll be the week after that because it's a Sunday, isn't it? It's March the 5th, which is a Sunday.
I don't know. Let's just
use, so it'll be the 12th is when I see you next.
I don't know.
Whatever. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
I'm at Joel Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-A-R-L. Folks, for those of you who have stuck with us for God knows how long, thank you. For those of you who are sending really nice messages of support for the last little while, for us being there and the stuff that we're dropping or have dropped, thank you for your support. It really does mean a lot. We're just two dorks who talk about wrestling, and we got to do something fun this weekend. And that's thanks to you guys who are very supportive, and thanks to Fightful for giving us that platform to do it. So
thank you.
Thank you. Works on my kid. He laughs like a banshee.
Just like crap all over your nice, sincere thing.
That's right.
Thank you, though.
Thank you, guys. Ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary. We'll see you in the next one. Actually, like I said, Jeremy and I tomorrow, 10 a.m. Newsworthy on the channel. Cheers.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.